Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Michaela Trainer. Michaela is a wife, mother, author, entrepreneur, and happens to have ADHD. As a transformational life coach, Michaela shows parents how to creatively transform their ADHD into their superpower so they can stop struggling with it and accomplish their dreams with ease and confidence. Michaela, welcome to the space.
Hello.
Welcome to the space.
I'm happy to be here.
I am happy to have you here. So I am so excited to talk about this because so relatable. It'll be like a little therapy session going on here. So Michaela, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Okay. So I like you introduced myself, I am a mother. My son is 20. I've got a five-year-old pup. I live in Eastern Canada or Atlantic Canada, as we say. And I was diagnosed with ADHD in my late 20s. And I've learned to, you know, mask my ADHD over the years. But over the last, you know, probably 5 or 6 years, I've realized that, you know, I have decided I am who I am. I'm going to embrace, you know, the good stuff that I have and just, you know, what works for me works for me. What doesn't work for me, I'm just going to kind of let it go. Sure, you know, I forget things, but that's who I am. I just laugh about it and move on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I totally understand that. And that kind of comes with age in general, right?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, we kind of...
I know these days I'm like, wait, is that age or is that my ADHD?
It all becomes intertwined. So tell us a little bit more about, so you didn't get diagnosed until you were in your later 20s. So what was your life? What did you kind of do before that point? What did your world kind of look like? And just in general.
Well, in general, like at that point, I was still living with my parents. My son was about 3 and a half at the time. I was diagnosed with depression, but I knew that wasn't it. And then I read this magazine article about this lady who was diagnosed as an adult. And I read the article and I thought, you know, that sounds an awful lot like me. And I don't know how many symptoms she listed off that were, let's say there was 30, and I clicked off about 29 of those. And I thought, I went to my doctor and I said, listen, hello, like, this is me to a T. She's, well, I don't know. I said, well, you know, I think so. So she sent me to a psychiatrist who then, you know, had biweekly meetings. And after that first meeting, I was like, wow, these are my people. There really isn't anything wrong with me. We just, you know, our brains work differently. We just have to adjust our lives to our brains, essentially.
Yeah, thank you for saying it that way. Because isn't it liberating when you find something out, you think you're going crazy, and then you're like, oh, I'm not. It's just, it's my brain. It's just kind of the way I process things.
Right. And it's so much better when you realize you're not the only person that lives like that. you know, and it's hard because, you know, living with my parents, they had, you know, one style of thinking and I didn't live up to that. And I knew I didn't live up to that, but they didn't quite understand. So it's much better now that I'm, you know, not living with them. So that's a big help. But I find living to my own standard is much better. Like, it doesn't matter what my house or what anybody else's house looks like. I like my house the way it revolves and it works for me. Now, I'm not saying my house is in perfect working standard by any stretch of the imagination, but there are some things that work for me that wouldn't work for anybody else, and that's okay.
But I think that's an important point to recognize, because you hear this so much. It's that whole comparison thing. Hmm. Well, and when you specifically mention the house, I mean, I understand that completely. Like, I'll go over to some people's houses and everything is so, there's an order to it, and, you know, a outward looking order, and everything's just so clean. I guess by order, I mean clean.
Well, yes.
that's more specific. And put in certain ways, and then I come in our house and I'm like, oh my God. Sometimes I'm like, ah, like a breath of fresh air. And then sometimes I just come in and I start cleaning.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, it would be nice to be a little more organized, but, you know, someday. It's always a work in progress.
So maybe could you, from your perspective, explain what we hear what ADHD means? And we're going to be talking more beyond this, but I'm just curious from your perspective how you define it.
Well, my ADHD, there's a couple of different types, but typically ADHD is, you know, the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so many people like myself, the disorder, it's not really a disorder, and you're not, because you can pay attention to stuff. It's only stuff really that interests you. If it doesn't interest you, like, your brain kind of shuts down. And for so many girls, especially growing up, they didn't notice it as much because we were daydreamy, you know, not living up to our potential, didn't participate in class. Whereas, you know, it's picked up a whole lot more in boys because typically they're running around, burning energy, won't sit still. So there can be a big difference in that.
Mm-hmm,
and also diagnosing, typically most ADHD, it's comorbid, which is, it comes along with, you know, other things. It can be bipolar or depression or, you know, a lot of trauma induced ADHD, which might not necessarily be ADHD, but it's still, you know, symptoms present the same.
Yeah, it's interesting because as we had a diagnosis for our son and he was going through various tests, I was kind of like, oh, that's me. That's me.
And that's typical too. A lot of parents will realize that they have it when their children are diagnosed or one child is diagnosed. Like, oh, that's me. But that's because, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it wasn't as prevalent in children because they didn't pick it up till, you know, like I said, and the boys were super hyperactive. So that would kind of be a big aha moment. But, you know, as we learn more about it.
What do you say about it? I mean, because people will say, they're like, what are you talking about? There's so much distraction. I mean, people are, there's so much to look at. There's so much just going on all the time. Everybody's being called ADHD. Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, there's a few different responses. Yeah, you know, there is a lot of distractions, but ADHD is more if it affects your everyday living, you know, because you know, people say, oh, you're lazy because you don't pick up, you know, you don't do your laundry and, you know, you don't clean up your room. Well, you know, that's lazy if you decide not to do it. But it's like, well, you know, I really should clean up that room. But then I got to get a shower first. Oh, it's a lot of work to get a shower. Yeah, I think I'll just stay in bed. You know, you just kind of think, you know, you think of other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just go, ooh. And then you just stand in bed and don't do anything. But that's not an everyday thing. Just, you know, there's certain, that's just an example.
You know? So it's literally how the brain works.
It's literally how the brain works. You know, you decide, you can be distracted, but I'm telling you, if, you know, in your ADHD mode, you're super hyper-focused most of the time. There's nothing getting in there. So it's not, you're not being distracted by anything because it's, you're super hyper focused.
Okay. Well, before we dive into the questions, and first I want to welcome the people that are here with us live. So we appreciate you being here. Any questions or comments, please put them in the text box below and we will see them. So, Michaela, our little would you rather question is, this special one for you is, would you rather have a neck like a giraffe or eyes like an owl?
Oh, that's a good one. That's very interesting. I would say probably because I'm so tall, I would rather owl eyes like an owl.
Any particular, I picked that one too, but any particular reason for you?
I don't know, maybe because it makes me look smart. If I can have the neck like the owl too, that I could whip it around, that would be really even. Really nice.
There we go. Yeah, I forgot that they can do like that full 360 thing going on.
Yeah, as a mother, as you know, we kind of have eyes in the back of our head anyway. But
how many times have you heard, how did you see that? Seriously, how did you see that?
I know. Like, how did you know? Like,
my spidey, senses were tingling.
Yeah, it's somehow you just know. As a mom, you just know. If it's too quiet, you better go check.
Oh, my God. And even as they get older, how old is your son now?
He's 20.
Yeah. So you get it. Yeah.
And now it's more the dog. Like, the dog is too quiet. What's she into now?
This is a total side note. But, do you know the movie Terms of Endearment?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, God, it's good. It's crazy. They list the darn thing as a comedy, and it's not funny. It's like the daughter is dying. But she's dying of cancer. Anyway, the first scene is Shirley MacLaine is like, all you see her doing is walking in and out of a bedroom where the crib is. Okay. And it's quiet and she just keeps walking in and out. And then you hear, and she peers in and walks out, and you hear the husband say, honey, it's called sleep. Leave her alone. And then the last time is, it's like however many times she's back and forth. And then she kind of shakes the crib and she starts crying and she goes, that's better. And she walks.
I was like, I remember my mom was telling me like when she's got, three sisters and four brothers, but she's like the third oldest. So she remembers like when the little ones were around, like they'd pull their feet to make them cry.
Evil. Older brothers and sisters.
Oh, they all get along now.
Oh my God. I still do that to my kids, by the way. Still, they're 18 and 21. I still check to see if their stomach's going up and down. Oh my God. Anyway, okay. So let's dive into the first question, which is, how do you define creativity?
How do I define creativity? Well, as you point out, I used to think for a while, creative, I'm not very creative, because you think creativity is more like, they're an artist, they paint. But really, to me, creativity is something that you can be open, just be open to possibilities, and anything is creative, really. Anything that you think of in your mind is creative. Mm-hmm. Anything you can express, your thoughts, your feelings, any solutions that anybody comes up with that are beyond the typical, that's what I find creative. You go, you're so creative. You're creative. You thought of that solution. Well, to me, that's so obvious, but to somebody else, it's like, well, I would never have thought of that.
It's a good point, because it's true, right? When we're kind of, when it comes to us, we're like, oh, it's not a big deal. And other people are, that's how inventions and things get created.
Well, that's it, right? Think how boring life would be if everybody was the same.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have that, you refer to some people as kind of like that brain that's a little quirky. They're like, they're just a little different. Like, there's the people that I see that are more outwardly different thinkers. And
right.
Then,
and I would always think, oh, I wish I was creative. I wish I could paint. I wish I could do this. And I wish I could do that. Well, I don't really wish that anymore because you don't have to be perfect at doing it.
Love that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hear that, everybody? You don't have to be perfect at doing it. You just do it. And I think I've realized that's really a big thing when I left my teaching career within the school system. And I had a non-traditional art teaching career. It was in many different spaces, being from homeless shelters to school settings to my own businesses. But when I decided to leave that space, I really wanted to work with adults and like the whole adulting thing. But always, for all the 30 years of my teaching, I've been like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just a matter of doing it. If that's what you want to do.
Right.
Just trying it.
Just try it. You know, you might not be good at it, or maybe you will be, or maybe you really like it and then you will get good at it if that's what you want to do. But it's fun to just try new things. And that's also being creative, is just trying new things.
Yeah. And if you mess up, that's like the fun part. Like, you really can laugh about it when you learn to laugh at yourself and not be so serious about it and be like, oh, I'm not good at that. I suck. I'm never going to do it again. But if you just kind of laugh at it, or if you're doing something like, I don't know if this is the best example, but I just thought of miniature golf. Like, okay. We went for my birthday when I was 53 and I was like, let's go miniature golfing. And, it was just fun. We laughed so hard. And it also started really pouring all of a sudden, like torrential downpours, like in the middle of it. And we couldn't find coverage and whatever. But it was just fun.
It's fun. It creates an experience. And that's fun.
Yeah. And you took the word right out of my mouth. It creates experience. So tell me more about, so here we are defining it, saying that it's something, it can be open to possibilities, you can express your thoughts and feelings. Let's just find out a little bit more, diving into more about who you are and what you've done with that. If you've always felt this way, if it's kind of been more of a progression that you've worked yourself up to.
Oh, it's definitely been more of a progression because I used to always be nervous about starting things. It would have to be perfect. And that's still a work in progress. There are still some things like, oh, well, I don't want to start that yet. But mm-hmm. Then I remember it's progress over perfection. That's definitely the way to go. But I've just decided to say, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to try new experiences. I sing a little bit. I used to sing in a choir when I was in elementary school. And my husband now has a band. They play. And once in a while, I'll sing a song mm-hmm. or two with him.
Cool.
So that's being creative.
That definitely is being creative.
And I'm more outgoing, I find. I mean, I'm introverted, but I'm also extroverted. Because in certain situations, I'll just, you know, go out there and meet new people and... You know, that's okay. I've become one of those quirky people myself.
Well, isn't it nice when you can, I mean, it has to do with confidence, but step into that person of more of who you want to be by just being more playful. And like we said, trying these different things, finding out more things that we're good at, things that we're not good at. And it does take you, it changes how you connect with people, right?
Oh my gosh, does it ever. Like, I have like an amazing extended family, and just this past weekend we were up in Cape Breton for kind of a mini family reunion. And, you know, it was a lot of fun getting to talk to everybody and kind of individually and, you know, collectively. And then we spent a lot of time in the pool, and didn't I jump in the pool with all my clothes on?
Did you? I love it.
I was like, but you know what? This is, you know, I didn't want to leave. Because I thought, well, this would be the time then everybody dispersed. I think we spent about 7 hours by the pool. But it was fun. I was like, you know what? Doesn't matter. What's the worst can do? I get wet. I got more clothes down the road. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, is that something you would have done a few years ago?
No, absolutely not. Not my wildest dreams would ever thought of getting in the pool with my clothes on.
And the reason for that is why, specifically?
I just felt more confident. I thought, you know, it's hot. I'm going to go in. That's okay. It's whatever. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm more about the experience of hanging out with my family and having fun than worrying about, oh, my clothes are going to get wet.
Yeah. So it does not matter what other people think being the key.
Exactly. You know, and a few of my relatives said, oh my gosh, like you're doing so well. Like you're so happy and you're doing. And I think part of that is, you know, is my lifestyle, but I've worked a lot on myself over the last couple of years and, you know, especially the last 6 months or so. And it's really showing.
So when you say, what does that mean? You've worked a lot on yourself. How do you do that?
I've worked on, as a life coach, I've, you know, been coached by other people through other mentors and, you know, worked on feelings and what else have we worked on? Just worked on kind of your own stuff, like how you feel about certain things and that whole progress over perfection, and it really doesn't matter kind of what other people think. You know, I've kind of felt that, but it's really kind of stuck. You know, you need other people to kind of help you through.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And it's come up a lot lately where I've been talking with others and with my husband about that whole thing with when you say you believe in something and the difference of when you really believe in something. So you're like, right. Yeah, I believe in that. Meaning that as far as a mindset goes, yeah, I believe that I'm worthy. But then you have all this negative chatter going on in your head as opposed to, I believe I am worthy with all of the positive and reaffirming that comes along. Not saying that everybody's perfect all the time, but you know what I mean? It's like that core belief of saying and really doing.
That's right. I had so much negativity growing up. And I say that like in a... I don't want to say a negative way, but I guess a negative positive way, but, you know, that, you know, to be quiet, like, you know, don't feel your feelings. It's like, whoa, hold on. That's not right. then I love my parents. They're wonderful, but they just didn't know any better. Well, they, you know, that's what they knew. Right.
Right.
So that's fine. But allowing myself to feel my feelings, that's huge. And the first big relationship I had, that was a negative experience in terms of the person negatively affecting me. But that's okay because that became a positive because I was like, okay, that's the opposite of what I want. And I learned so much about myself because I had low self-esteem. But also because of the ADHD, which I didn't know until after that, you know, that, you know, growing up in school too, well, you know, you're not good enough. You didn't do this and you didn't do that. And I didn't, but now, you know, I'm confident in myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you needed that contrast of like the first relationship. Like we all have those kind of things happen to us of what we don't want to what we do want.
Right. And I said, I wouldn't change any of it because this is where I got to today. And I'm super happy with where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. So, and what I called this was, let's explore how to transform ADHD to your superpower. And through this process of, like you said, coaching, being coached yourself and really working on yourself about feelings, how you feel about yourself, how others think, like dealing with all of that stuff and accepting and understanding that your brain works differently. Right. It's not an excuse. It just does.
Absolutely. It just does. You know, it just does. And, you know, you are worthy. You are loved and you are worthy. And, you know, just because your brain doesn't work like so-called the normal person, but, you know, what is a normal typical person anyway?
Right, right.
Exactly. In my view, all of our brains work differently, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally understanding,
you know,
that.
And you know, a lot of people, it negatively affects them like really badly. And I kind of get that. So, you know, ADHD as your superpower is not always a good thing for some people, and that's okay, because, you know, you can grieve for what you didn't have growing up, but now that you know, you can work towards, you know, making your life better.
As a life coach, and just as a person who actually has this, is there a way to, I don't know if this is the right word to use, to improve it or to make it, can you heal it?
I don't know as far as healing it, but you can do a lot more workarounds where, you know, certain things will work for you, such as, you know, having a trash can in every room, maybe, you know, doing your laundry twice a week instead of, you know, once every 2 weeks, or, you know, put your laundry in a hamper, your clean laundry, fold it in a hamper. You don't have to put it away in drawers. If that's what works for you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If it works for you, you know, then, you know, I've noticed now, like if I'm cooking, which I don't do a lot, I'll set my timer and then I'll do my dishes while I'm cooking, or I'll go clean the bathroom or something. I find that becomes, you know, you get a little bit done here and a little bit done there, and, you know, it works.
I love that, because it's creating the structure. So it's creating structure for what is needed for you as an individual. And, right, you know, I mean, we know ourselves, or we're learning to know once we actually take the time to know ourselves and see what our perceived challenges are and then come up with solutions. I love that. That idea of the timers is brilliant.
Right. And then you try it and you try it. If it doesn't work, then let's try something else. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. You know, let's figure out what works for you. You know, set your timer, listen to a podcast while you're cleaning, or, you know, do this corner of the room for 10 minutes, or, okay, I'm only going to pick up the trash, you know, this time, or while I'm watching my show, I'm going to fold my clothes, or whatever it is, the case may be. You know, tell the kids, okay, we're going to watch this show, but we're going to clean at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you could give us just like a little window. So as a coach, when you're working with someone, how does it work out? How do you, what's the initial meeting with them?
Well, the initial meeting, I just, you know, ask them what it is that they, you know, that they are kind of looking for. We go in search of their goals. We try to find their goals. And then I ask them this question. You know, if you had a magic wand, like a realistic magic wand, you know, what would your life look like in, say, 6 months or a year? Like, what would that look like for you? Like, don't worry, you know, about all the little itty bitty details, but realistically, what would it look like? Mm-hmm. And then we go backwards, you know, from there to figure out, okay, if that's kind of our goal, let's go back and how do we reach that goal? So then we all work on their mindset, and, you know, if there's any learning that needs to be done, then I kind of help them. I will guide them through, you know, learning materials or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Big goal and then work backwards.
Right. And really a lot of it, and a lot of people don't realize this, is huge. It's mindset is like the top. You know, once you get your mindset straightened away, like the rest kind of is a whole lot easier to go through.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree with that, because if you're just kind of like thinking again, like, oh, I'm not really worthy, and you're doing these things, you're not and really going to be doing very much.
Why is my house a disaster? Like, oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. Okay, well, what can you do?
Yeah, yeah.
What's, you know, what's working for you? What are you happy with? And, you know, whether it's your ADHD or your personality or whatever, like, what's good? What's good about your life? And yeah. When you focus on the good and the rest sort of follows, is your life going to be perfect? No, because nobody's is anyway. Even if you think Missy's over there with the perfect house, well, her life's probably not perfect either. Yeah. She was more relaxed like you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't remember her name right now. she's just popping into my mind just because of the story that I heard on a podcast. She's well known, and of course her brain. Anyway, she was just telling a story about how she filled out one of these questionnaire things on Facebook, like 28 questions, and then you just send it back and share it with people. And I just mention it because she would have the appearance of a life which just seemed like it was perfect, but she was an alcoholic, she was having difficulty in her marriage and all this kind of stuff, or she wasn't an alcoholic at the time, she was a recovering alcoholic. But when she answered some of the questions and sent them away, and then all of a sudden she looked at her phone and there was like 7 calls from her sister. She's like, uh-oh, what did I do? Because that's never good when I get 7 calls from her. And these people, all of a sudden she was getting all these DMs and people were saying, me too, me too. And she knew these people, but on the surface, everything seemed perfect with them, but it wasn't.
And I think part of why, you know, the alcoholism and those things, because they're trying to keep up to be so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God, that's going to bother me that I can't remember her name. I'll remember it maybe by the end. I'll message you and say, I remember.
You will too. I'll get one later.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So moving on to question number 2, which is, how do you incorporate more creativity into your life?
Like I said, singing. Singing is good. I'm learning. Learning new things or jumping into new experiences. I'll say, hey, you know, why not? Let's go, like I said, jumping into the pool with my clothes on. I don't know what you call that, creative or not. I'm not sure.
That's definitely a new experience. That's just kind
it's
of like
a new experience. I'm like, well, okay, let's go. Like, I just enjoy trying new things now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd like to learn to, I would like to, I wouldn't say learn to paint. I just like to get my butt in gear and just start. But I do. I like scrapbooking, and I like I'll make cards sometimes for people. Homemade cards for people. Mm-hmm. I've got all kinds of like stickers and stuff. Mm-hmm. All kinds of creative materials that I'd like to do more with. That I will do more with.
Mm-hmm. I don't buy cards. I've always made cards, and I think my mom also, you know, Mary Engelbreit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Yep. Like, she saves everyone, and she's always using it and recycling it for cards and for holiday cards and for personal cards, and because they always have like the perfect message. But I don't know. Besides that, I just make cards. It's just, it feels more personal to me.
Yeah, it does to me too. I don't always, but I try to do it more often than not.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Let's think about, so the singing aspect. So you said that you sang in a choir when you were younger.
Right.
And then did you just kind of like keep the singing just for yourself if you did even sing?
Well, I didn't sing a whole lot, you know, growing up other than elementary school. We actually won, I think we won a top prize in the Maritimes back when I was in grade 6 for the choir.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, maybe I can sing a little bit. And then I met my now husband, and he said, oh, you know, I was in a band and, you know, could play guitar, and I was in a band since I was 12. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, show me. So sure enough, here he is. So he's back to being in a band now over the last 4 years, and things are coming around. We're gigging again. But, you know, he'd sing to the radio, and I'd start singing a little bit, and then he'd stop. So he'd stop singing so he could listen to me sing, and I'd kind of giggle, and then I'd stop. So this is early on, and then I became more comfortable. And I said, you said you can sing. I said, yeah, right. You're just giving me, you know, props. I said, no, you know, I think you can sing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, okay, well, I'll, at one jamming session at the band, I said, okay, well, you know, I'll sing. I said, but here's the thing. If you don't think I can sing, like, I'm not going to sing with you guys. Like, this is just not going to happen. We'll just do it for fun. But, you know, some of them think I can sing. So that's not too bad. I sing Ring of Fire with them, but I could sing some other songs.
What does it feel like when you're on stage?
It feels pretty amazing, actually. You know? I had got a kick out of my sister-in-law. She's a little karaoke machine in the garage, and we've gone up there a couple of times. And the last time I was up, like, you know, I took the microphone, I sang some songs, just sitting on the sofa, just four of us, and I wouldn't let go of the microphone. I was like, this is really bad. I have an addiction. I'm going to watch that.
That's a great addiction.
I was like, I got to stop that. I got to let other people have a chance.
allow for the share. But that's amazing. I mean, my God, what a huge change.
It's huge because I was not like that growing up. I was a little bit, you know, gun shy, I guess, in some ways. Mm-hmm. Although I guess, too, I was in a play in the early years. In grade 6, I remember I was in a Christmas play at a couple of lines.
Uh-huh.
And even volunteering at my son's school, I did a lot of volunteer work there in elementary school. So that was a lot of fun. So you did have to be creative with some solutions around the kids. But in the end of the school year, they do kind of lip syncing. Uh-huh. And one of the kids that I knew, I worked with her mom. So she was like, I think in grade 5 or grade 6. So she wanted me to do air guitar for her, just kind of last minute. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And like, you know, of course, the whole entire school is watching and, you know, some of the parents. And I had a really good time. It's like, uh-oh, this could be addicting too. I didn't mind that. Because I was really nervous. I'm like, are you sure? Like, are you sure you want me to do this? Yeah. Like, you can do it. So
that's
kind of peer pressured me, I guess, into doing it. But I didn't mind doing it for her because I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great, though. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, standing on stage and having all eyes, I know it's funny because my husband went to school. His master's was in directing theater, film, and video.
Okay. So you know.
Yeah, and when and his undergrad was in photography, but when we would go to parties when we were at his school for directing theater, film, and video, he was acting a lot also, and I'd walk into the room and there'd be this energy of, oh, you know, look at me, and I was just kind of like, ah, like at the time it was overwhelming to me, but I was always in awe of somebody that could be on the stage and just be comfortable with that attention. I know that it's kind of like you're becoming somebody else, so it's not necessarily you that they're looking at, but still having the confidence to be up there to do that.
Right.
It's beautiful.
It was a little nerve-wracking at first, but it's kind of fun. You know, it is a lot of fun. And it's funny, like my husband, he's kind of humble about, you know, about his singing. He goes, I can't believe people really like my singing, right? And it's funny because it's country, kind of an old country band, Outlaw. And people even say, oh my God, I don't like country. I can't stand country. And then they'll listen to him play and they go, listen to the band play. And like, oh my God, I love country. Mm. Which is, you know, hilarious. But everybody loves to be around us. And I think it's this energy that we bring, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the two of us and myself, it's good energy.
Yeah, that's exactly what people get attracted to in those different, you know, because you could be like, it's so easy for people to be like, ah, I don't like this kind of music, I don't like that kind of music, but there definitely is an energy that kind of gives off that can change that.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Perception, for sure. So tell me about, you got your undergrad in psychology, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Psychology, sociology. So I was always interested, you know, people watching and, you know, reading some of that even before I finished high school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was always interested.
Did you do anything with that? I mean, now you're doing something with it.
Now I'm doing something with it. I was going to become a counselor, but I didn't quite. I took the courses And my psychologist even said, you know, you'd be good, like, hang out your hat. She had confidence in me, but I didn't have enough confidence in myself at that point. Plus, I had to get a job, move out of my parents' house. So that didn't quite work. But working in retail, certainly, and Tim Hortons, it just, you deal with people all the time. So I'd be a listening ear, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's something that I've always done, help people anyhow. And I love seeing people succeed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that everybody should have a job in customer service.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, I agree.
Yeah, as a kid, teenager, you should have some kind of customer service job. It's talk about, like you said, psychology and sociology, it's all right there.
Oh, for sure. And then you understand what it's like to be on the other end of things. There are some people that kind of don't understand what people go through on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I so many scenarios in restaurants and, oh my God, people and food and being hungry. Not a great combination.
It's not. You know, but you can get the nice people, you know, and there's a lot of nice people just to... And once in a while, you get that one customer. Watch out.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, oh, I'm never going to shop here again. Well, good. We don't want you anyway. You think that's a negative for us? Like, hello. And then they come back.
Exactly. This threat of, you won't get my business anymore. Okay, we weren't relying on it. Okay.
Exactly.
That's okay.
We'll survive without you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's see. Are there any other more things to explore on the how you incorporate it into your life? Are you feeling anything else coming up?
No, I think we're good. I just like, you know, like I said, I like, you know, creating new opportunities. You know, and just learning new things. Just always be open for more.
Yeah, and I really want people to hear that. So everybody listening to this, it really is. I mean, it may sound cheesy as anything, but I mean, we're living and it's about creating opportunities and having experiences. And like we said early, I don't mean to sound all preachy, but it's just not about the perfection of things. It's really just doing things.
Right.
And yeah, that's really living instead of just sitting there and not doing anything out of fear, just from this fear base.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to the last question, which is really kind of like just putting a nice little bow on everything. So why do you think creativity is important?
Creativity is so important. Because it allows you to have fun. I think that's the basis of it, allows you to have fun. Like, let's not take life so seriously. Certainly there are serious moments, but enjoy your life. Just have fun. Like, I see all these people doing new things and they go, oh, I'd like to try that. You know, there was a pottery class somebody did, I had seen online. And I was like, oh, I'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, just be open for opportunities. And don't be afraid to explore.
Yeah, so actually I'm going to put it out there that if I say the sentence, I would like to do that, fill in your own. Fill in the blank. I would like to do that. So just think about that. As you're listening to this, answer your own question and just do it.
There's pottery or painting or going zip lining or... going to the park or whatever it is that you haven't done.
And I actually just saw something. My cousin just posted that him and his son went and jumped out of a plane. That was on the bucket list. So they shared pictures of that. It could also be something with, and I'd like to do that. It could be something in the way that you parent. It could be something in the way that you do business. With ideas and what you bring to the table. So it comes in so many different forms.
Oh, that's right. And don't be afraid to, if you have an idea, speak it out. And, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Failure is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, Edison worked on the light bulb like 15,000 times he failed or something.
And Einstein had a, you know, I believe he had ADHD as well. But which reminds me, there's a quote that I saw the other day attributed to Albert Einstein. He says, creativity is intelligence having fun.
Yeah.
And I think if you're creative, if you have that creative brain, whether you think it's a little bit or a lot, it doesn't have to be a lot, even just a little, that creates more intelligence in my mind. You know, it allows your brain to have fun and, you know, be more you, whatever that is for you.
Yeah, that's what I would like to. What kind of final word of advice or would you like to share with people about the ADHD brain?
I would say that you, like, don't be afraid to be yourself. And you are enough. Like, you weren't made wrong. It's just other people are telling you you're wrong. You know, love yourself, love your brain, and, you know, start thinking about the good things about yourself. What works in your life for you, and do more of that.
Yes. Love it.
And don't worry about what other people think. Worry about what works for you.
Yeah, I have to say, like, when my son got a label of, you know, ADHD, I think he got tired of it. At a certain point, I think at some point, honestly, since the label was there, per se, it was kind of like, I don't know, just seeing him on the outside, I could see at certain points that he would let certain things slip by because he could say that he had it. But as right. He's gotten older, I've seen him be like, screw that. Like, I'm not accepting that. I've seen the change in him.
That's wonderful, because it's good to have, if you're kind of not sure where you're at, it's good to have so you can help yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? But don't be stuck in the, oh, I have ADHD, can't do anything. All kinds of people have ADHD and are, you know, succeeding.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're Elon Musk or you're yourself, like, you're succeeding. And success is defined in so many ways.
Love that.
No. Don't let ADHD define you. You define it.
Ooh, that's your quotable quote. Say that again, please.
Can I remember that? don't let ADHD define you.
Yeah.
You define your ADHD.
You define it. The first way you said it. Okay. I always take a quote from everyone, and that's the one that I'm sticking with right here. That's the quote. Yes.
That's a good quote.
It is a good quote.
But I do say so myself.
You did well. Oh my gosh. Well, we are getting to the top of the hour, and it has been so wonderful talking to you.
It's been amazing. I knew it was going to go by fast.
It did. Can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Sure. I am on Facebook, Michaela Trainer, and you can also reach me at authenticdivinedesign.com. That's my Gmail. AuthenticDivineDesign@gmail.com. So it's AuthenticDivineDesign. Get the divine design at gmail.com.
Okay. So the best way to reach you is on Facebook?
It would be, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I will put all of this, within the bio of the podcast, and I appreciate the person that just joined on. So happy that you are here. Hello. We're just about to end, but so grateful that you took the time to be here. And again, Michaela, I appreciate you taking this hour. Very, very grateful to you.
I'm grateful to be here.
So thank you. And I, this space is all about inspiring sharing stories and connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can share these uplifting stories and perspectives and, darn it, change the societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush to empower people to own their voices, to own their expression. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and be talking to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.